Sikhs are not so bad. Sikhs are more warlike. They're quiet, but they're more intelligent, I think, Sikhs. And the little Gurkhas, of course. The little Gurkhas are the most marvellous men in the world. But the others, the Bengali, he'll pay and run like blazes. You learn these funny little things without knowing you've learnt them.
But then if this is what Indians are like, then it wouldn't matter whether the British were there or not.
Well, did the British start it? I've often wondered that too. When they first went over and they took command and they held, what was the company? The Hudson Bay?
East India Company.
East India Company. Well, they must have taken bribes. In, to my mind, I have no proof of this because I only know what I read, and you can't read the truth always either. But I think that probably was started by Portuguese more than anything, with the Goans. They toughed the Goans out, didn't they, the Portuguese? And the Goans were intermarrying with the Portuguese, weren't they? But they got, somewhere I've read it, they got turfed out of their country for that. The Goan, he's a nice, quiet man. He would, I should think, take a bribe first, or bribe. And I think perhaps, we might have started it. You never know. I mean, these administrators who came in, they lived like nabobs, didn't they? And then the nabobs, they started it too, didn't they? They had palaces, and you had to pay the nabob to have something, didn't you? I mean, if you had a prince on your, you were his serf, you still had to pay him. No, I think it's hereditary. It's in the Indian makeup, and I don't think you'll ever eradicate it. It's just like bargaining. They expect you. They start at 500 rupees and come down to 4.
Do you think there was any point for the British to be there?
Oh, yes. I think the British did a good job. Because I think myself that the Pathans are a very warlike race. And they have very great blood feuds. I used to talk on the veranda to the old boy who used to come on camelback over the Khyber Pass with his Persian carpets. I think he must have come from China. Could he have done? I don't know. I never got that far. But he used to sit there and natter to me about the passes being cold and the tall heights, you know, and how he this, that and the other. And I think that the British did a good job keeping the Pathans to the meridian line. They stopped them. Because the Pathan is a warlike man, and he often has a blood feud, which, you accidentally kill his brother, well, he'll kill you for sure. And that goes on and on and on in families. And boy, are they marksmen, those Pathans. They can pick you off at a few paces. They're standing right over there with these great big rifles and they can pick you off. I know I shivered coming down the Balam Pass. But I think we did a good job because we gave them an incentive to free their country in the end because they wanted to be rid of us so much they threw us out. And we also gave them an incentive to work, which the Indian doesn't like anyway. And because we made them work, whether or no. Whether we did it the right way or the wrong way, I don't know. But we did make them work. In other words, we got them out of it. An Indian, you know, will lay down and die. He will do that. If he thinks he's going to die, he'll lay down and he'll die. And nothing will stop him. And if a man puts a curse on him, he'll lay him down and die. And it's true. And I wouldn't like to get near those fakirs and sadhus. Not me. I stay well away from them. But that, I think we taught them that To live, you've got to fight. To have your country, you've got to fight for yourself. And we taught them to work, in a way. And the Memsahibs taught the women to be a bit more enlightened, because the Memsahibs used to go around like she-devils. And, well, for instance, in bare shirt and shorts with my knees showing, I'd ride down the bazaar on a bike, which was horrible. You can't imagine it. But I think we taught them a lot. I think we did a good job in India. I'd like to see the troops in India now. I mean, isn't that proved by the bloodbath that went on after we left India? Pakistani fighting, I knew that would happen. You could see it. I mean, they call them Pakistanis. The Muslims have cut the throat. Rustam Khan would have cut the throat of my ayah for nothing, never mind tuppence. She was a Beel and he was a Muslim. I'd like to know what happened when petition came, but you see, they just hate. There's so much hate. And I think they could do with the English in there now.
Did you expect that the British rule was going to come to an end?
I heard about it, but I was very sad about it because I had a lot of friends. And you don't know what happens to them. I mean, not money-wise. I knew that some of them had lots of money. But I just wondered what would happen to the half and halves. Would they go native? Would they go English? Would they have the money to leave the country? Would all the stuff be confiscated? Would the lovely homes I've seen be torn up and bloodied? I was very worried. I spent a lot of nights worrying about them all. But I suppose, I don't know. Maybe they died. Well, if they died, they'd have had a good life. But I was very sad about that. I did expect those to fight. I did. And I expected another mutiny. I did. Because if you lived in India, you would know you lived on the edge of a volcano. You never knew which way the native was going to jump. We lived near a big prison. And when you heard the drums in that prison, you knew jolly well that something was going to burst. And when the hot weather came, before the monsoons, you always got livery. However calm and collected you were, before the monsoon, you really went berserk, and some of the fellas did go berserk until the rains came, and then you stood out in the rain and got soaked. But the heat is so intense. I mean, this summer we had a hot summer. Well, that is an Indian summer all the time, up to 120. Day, night, day in, day out. Nothing but sand, bricks, dirt, a few flowers, and the same men. Well, you would, wouldn't you? Go berserk. And natives go berserk quicker than the English. A native will just go berserk when he feels like it. And, well, you just put him in the mush and he's all right next day. You wouldn't think it was the same man. But you learn to live with that. You live on the edge of a volcano. But you're not aware you're doing it until you stop and think. And you do stop and think sometimes. You're having such a wonderful time, you think, oh, it must end. It's really something, you know. But I think the British did a bad job when they got out of India, because I don't think a native will ever rule himself. And there's a missionary down here in my painting class. She was a missionary for about 40 years. And she said the same thing to me the other day in the painting class. They'll never rule themselves, A, because of the bribery, and B, because it's every man for himself. And there are so many castes. They could no more eat dinner with you than fly in the air. And if the shadow goes on the dinner, they throw it out. The untouchables are still untouchable, and you won't ever kid me that Gandhi and Congress and Harijans making things in factories stopped it. My Dursey himself. I asked him to make me an evening gown, and normally he made evening gowns. Here today, evening gown tonight. He'd take a picture out of a paper, sit down, and you had the dress. But I took him some material when they first started Congress, you know, Harridge and stuff. And he said, no, ma'am, sir. This is not good material, ma'am, sir. What's the matter with it? No, ma'am, sir. Never give you an answer. No, ma'am, sir. And never give you a real answer. Just he couldn't do it. It wasn't good material. But he wouldn't touch it because it was made by untouchables. He'd be polluted. And he'd have to have purification ceremonies and Lord knows what all.
How much did you know about Congress and about Gandhi?
I learnt a lot about that because I was rather interested in it. I thought that if he could amalgamate the castes, but you've got to remember that I was very ignorant as to the castes. There are thousands of castes and I didn't know them all and I didn't know their customs. But I did know the untouchables because when I first went, I had committed a bit of a crime. I was going up to Quetta and I shook hands with them all. But unfortunately for me, I shook hands with the sweeper before I shook hands with Rustam Khan. And it wasn't until I saw the look on Rustam Khan's face that I realised he'd have to do a bit of purification. You see, the sort of things you do are through ignorance. I was ignorant. But I learnt that Gandhi was, through the women I learned this, there were quite a number of enlightened women in Hyderabad Sindh, and the mayor's daughter was one of them. She was the one that lent me the sari. And I said to her, well, why? Oh, no, she said, if that sweeper's shadow goes over my food, I throw it out. Or my mother and father, or we don't do this, and we use the right hand for this, that, and the other, and we wash, and we eat with the left, I don't know, whether I think it was the left hand every time, because of all sorts of things, you see. You learn these things that you don't know you're learning them. And Gandhi did start up these factories. And this cloth was made. But they wouldn't wear it. Some of them would, but not a lot. They wouldn't wear that. And they still don't wear it, even now. They still have caste and caste customs and caste idiosyncrasies, I think. But then, if a man believes he's coming back as a snake, why should he crush a beetle or a snake? You know, let him live out his karma, he'd say. No, let him live out his karma, and he'll come back.
Did you read in newspapers about these changes?
No, I didn't. My husband only had the, I think it was the something Times. Was it Indian? What was that Indian paper? I forget that Indian paper. He used to take that. No, I only knew from my friends, the Anglo-Indians. I used to listen to the discussions they had quite a lot. And when you realised that they were half black and half white, then you knew which side of the question. They couldn't stick their black brother-in-law. But there you are. You see, they knew, they were proud to be white. It was a bit silly, really, but there you are. I can't answer that because I think we did a good job. I think we were right to go. I don't think some things we did were right. And I'm quite sure that the natives, some of them, have got just as much brains as we have and more. But whether they would use those brains in the same way that we would if we wanted to get somewhere, that's a different matter. A, they couldn't do it, I think, because of the bribery system. It would stop them in full pelt. And B, I think that they wouldn't dare use it if there was caste in the thing. You see? Well, the fakirs, they were holy men. And the sadhus were holy men. And they used to sit mostly under a peepal tree or a bamboo tree or a banyan tree. And the people used to feed them. They had a begging bowl at their foot. But if he was a holy man, Sadhu, he smeared, his hair was all horrible, all, you know, like hippies, only worse. And it was covered in wood ash, and his face was covered in wood ash, and he sat cross-legged. I saw one who'd had his arm up there for, oh, I can't remember how many years, and it had withered like that. And he was, they were doing it for a penance.
He held his own.
Oh, yeah, held his own just like that, and it withered that way. And you saw them sitting under the trees. You passed them. We didn't let your shadow fall on them. But you passed them and you looked at them and you went on your way. He didn't speak to you or anything. He just sat there. And the fakirs, oh, they were wild. They had the ash and the saffron and Lord knows what. They seemed to live on the people. And they too, well, they told fortunes and stories, and but they could cast a spell. Well, so it was said. And I've seen more things in heaven and earth, so I wouldn't argue with that point either. And they were holy, and they just sat there. And then they'd sit on the edge of the bazaar, and then there was the writer. He'd sit there, cross-legged, with his writing thing here, and he used to write letters for people who couldn't write, and he'd charge them an anna or half an anna, depend on what it was, you know, and you gave him the money and he wrote the letter for you, and things like that. They'd sit at the entrance to the bazaar. You see, they didn't sit in the cantonments. We never saw those people in the cantonments, but you got to remember I was galloping around the bazaars when I shouldn't be. And I used to see all these, and you see them in the towns, in Karachi, you'd see them all. And they'd be lying on the side, or somebody with a leg like that, elephantiasis, isn't it? And, you get a leper, the odd leper, and sores. And you also get the kids who've been made like it, in little carts, being dragged round begging. The beggars, they're really something. You see all this, but... well, how can you cure it if you've got a beggar who deliberately maims his kid and puts him in a cart to get money? And wouldn't you do it if you were hungry? So how can you answer that one? You see, the Sadhus, oh, they're a bit scary, they are. But they're holy men, and they sit there cross-legged. And mostly they don't have very much on, just a dhoti. Sometimes they don't even have a dhoti on. And their face is wood ash, white wood ash. And they're either praying or they're doing something. They're a bit ghastly sight. But after a while you get to notice them and you don't take any notice. They don't interfere with you.
Did you ever have your fortune told?
Not me.
Spell?
No, sir. My friend did. No. My friend did. If you go up to her, you ask her. She had a fortune told. Told her the real truth, too. They tell fortunes in the sand. And they throw the sticks up and they come down, too. No, I never did. I have never done that. I don't believe in hearing the future. I can think over the past, but the future is an unknown quantity. No, I wouldn't do it. Some people do. Do you? Would you?
I don't know.
No.
Because if you believe they're going to tell the right
truth,
fortune, you
yeah.
might not want to hear it.
Yeah. When I was in Noshira, my friend had hers told, but not me. I wouldn't go. But I remember one night we were on the veranda. We were in the house, and on the veranda, there was the most horrible noise came, just like a werewolf. And I said to Ruffle, "Do you believe in werewolves, Ruff?" And she said, "Well, after that noise, I think I do, you know." And the fakir had just told, well, I don't know about the fakir, the story tell her. I'd just told her a fortune, and he told her the truth too, that nobody else knew but her. And believe you me, she was a little bit on the frightened side, but so was I with that noise. It was a very... And they do believe in things like this, and they believe that my ayah wouldn't do certain things, you know. Oh no, Mam Sahib, I wouldn't do that. Somebody might wish me bad, or something like that. And to me, I'd laugh. But then I wouldn't laugh when I thought it over, because they do think things like that, you know. It, and not only in India either. There are lots of funny things in the world that you can't query. And I think that sometimes these people could be right. I don't know. I suppose it's people with more imagination than others that could believe. If you've got lots of imagination, you would believe. If you haven't got so much imagination, probably you wouldn't believe. But they can tell you all sorts of funny things. I wouldn't like to say, what about my ayah then, sitting on the railway station? And no wireless, no means of communication, no aeroplanes like today, the Balan Pass cracked, no trains running out of it. How did my ayah know where to sit? The drums, I suppose. Even those drums, they used to put the fear of God into me. Because they were a means of, well, I don't know. When it was, what did they call that ceremony? The ceremony of the lights. We didn't dare go out then. We went out, but we didn't go because they had procession of the lights. And then Rustam Khan had a fasting ceremony too. And in which he didn't touch anything. Diwali, that's what they called it, because we went to it down here, the festival of Diwali, the festival of lights. And
you had it here in Brighton?
Oh yes, we got a big Asian community here, and we went to their, we got some Indian friends down here, and we went to their ceremony, Diwali. And it was really lovely, in the Wagner Hall. But of course it wasn't the same as being in India, except for the saris and the women, you know. And of course they're all English, not, you know, they're not, they have adopted some of our attitudes. Living in England, you'd have to. And they have adopted some of our attitudes. Not all. They guard their girls much better. But they have adopted some of our attitudes. Yes, we have some very nice Indian friends. That Bill had an Indian at work, and so he brought them home. And you can believe it or not, she stood on her hair. Stood on it. It was beautiful. And she had this big, long plait right down to her hair. And we went to, I don't know, it was a dance or a Christmas party, something like that. Oh, and they did look lovely. The saris are so beautiful when you see them, you know, all together. Like a lot of roses. Beautiful flowers they're like, and some of them are so beautiful with their lovely skins. Their skins are so soft and, I don't know, I should have been Indian, I think. Not white. And, but we have got friends here. And we do ask them to our home, but they still keep up their own customs. And I like to go to some of the meetings because they're so fond of their ancestors, and their mothers are treated properly, you know, and their fathers, and the babies are looked after by the mothers.
You mentioned the lepers and beggars and poverty and so on. Did you think that this was Britain's responsibility and that something could have been done about all these desperate people?
I don't know. I don't think it's anybody's responsibility, because what I saw of the missionaries and what I saw of the churches, and they did their best, some people you can't help. You've got them in England. If you help them, they go lower. There are leper settlements. There are settlements for people with illness. There are clinics for the... There were clinics. Even in those days, there were clinics and missionaries, but they wouldn't go. A, they didn't like... They were frightened, maybe. If you were an uneducated white woman, Indian woman, uneducated, you'd lived in the jungle, you'd lived somewhere. Well, all right, they stripped me down to see if I was the same as they were, if I was a woman. And how could I feed three boys, which I did, in the same way that they did, by not having a great big figure and heaven alone knows what. And they didn't believe I had the boys, so they had me stripped down, without going any deeper into it. And how could you educate that sort of person in one generation to your way of